This episode of the Chaser Report is brought to you by child workers in the Congo. Without their delicate little hands mining all the world's cobalt, we wouldn't have any of the cheap electronics we'd need to record and distribute this podcast. Thanks, kids!
Striving for mediocrity in a world of excellence, this is the Chaser Report.
Hello and welcome to the Chaser Report for Monday the 27th of September 2021. Hello, Gabby Bolt.
Hello. How are we going, Dom?
Oh, I'm so excited because not only are we getting nuclear-powered submarines, it turns out we're getting drones. Gabby, we're getting unmanned or unpersoned drones.
Of course we are. It's like just because we need those in this country. We're under threat.
Such threat. And look, Alex has been taking a look at this story. Hey, Alexa.
Hey. It's an incredibly exciting story. I mean, when AUKUS first came around a week ago, I thought that was the last we're going to be hearing of it, like the quad, like all these other buzzwords. But it's really the gift that keeps on giving.
We're going to be able to kill people so much better than we used to.
It's going to be amazing. Look, to be honest, I'm not too keen about any of this. I think Australia's in a perfect position to kind of sit back and let everyone else duke it out. But if we're already committed to it, I'm glad that we can make some money and get some jobs out of it. You know, build some drones. I think we could build all sorts of stuff.
Do you reckon you met any of these people who are doing this at the arms expo you went to?
Oh, yes. If you haven't seen that stunt, go and look at it. I bet it was had some sort of a prototype there.
You might have inspired some of these drones, Alex.
I definitely told the guy at Boeing, I'm like, look, if you want to make drones, I hear Toowoomba is the perfect place. And I haven't gotten any royalties from that. They just kind of ran with my idea.
Is it just a place where if there's a, look, just quietly, if there's a strike back on Australia, yeah, we can stand to lose to one. But do you think that's the calculation?
Hey, that's not on, all right? There are several places we could strike before Toowoomba.
Where?
I've got a few. Oh, I don't know. Orange?
What's your beef with? Oh, you're from Bathurst. That's what that is. That's
it's
a Bathurst Orange beef.
It's a long-running rivalry, yeah. But, you know, if there is no Orange, then we're the best one. Are we? No,
I think we can all agree that there's a wealth of superfluous towns in Australia that we can get rid of. There's no need to compete.
I mean, we're building the subs in Adelaide. Why don't we do the drones there and make that the... So they've just got one target.
I think Adelaide's a perfect hub for Air Force equipment for other reasons, though, because it's also the meth capital of Australia.
It is.
Well, the US military has been giving meth to pilots for a very long time. So I'm thinking, you know, why not just do it all in the one place, all in Adelaide where the meth is?
Yeah.
You know, streamline the supply chain. That's what I'm after.
Make it, sell it, use it, all in the one area.
But what do we know about these drones, Alex? So what are some of the... I mean, I assume they're not pizza delivery drones. Are they actually flying death machines?
Yeah, I think they're a bit closer to death than pizza. But, I wouldn't blame you for not realizing, because the name of the program is called the Loyal Wingman.
The Loyal Wingman?
It's a bit... Yeah, it doesn't make a lot of
sense.
Are you
serious?
I mean, I know that we're kind of like buddying up to the US and doing what they say, but it kind of sounds like we're trying to have sex with China.
I've got the Air Force website here, Alexa, and just looking at what you're saying, it says that they're going to make sure that Australia's legal and ethical obligations are met. Now, when has that ever happened with drones? Is this a new idea?
No, that's easy, because we don't have any legal or ethical obligations. Very easy to meet them.
I tell you what, it says also that it's the first military combat aircraft to be designed, engineered and manufactured in Australia in more than 50 years. I tell you what, I'm glad we're not putting people in these things. They're not going to not crash.
Wait, we were making drones 50 years ago?
What were the planes we were making 50 years ago for the military? Sopwith camels or something?
I think it's those planes that we lost fighting all the emus.
Actually, you know what? With these drones, those emus...
They're gone.
We're finally going to win the war.
We're finally going to win it.
In today's episode, Chris Taylor is going to help Australia make peace with France.
Ooh, je m'appelle friends. No, but all that and more after this with Rebecca De Unamuno in the Chaser Newsroom.
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Prime Minister Scott Morrison announced that the tectonic plates that caused this week's earthquake will be joining the federal cabinet after showing great ability at being shifty. Experts believe the plates will work well with the federal government due to their mutual interest in destroying Melbourne. Victorians have received some modest freedoms after achieving high vaccination rates, with outdoor training in small groups soon to be allowed. The move comes too late for the Western Bulldogs, however, with the team wishing they'd scheduled any training whatsoever before being thrashed by Melbourne in the AFL Grand Final. Celebrity couple Elon Musk and Grimes have publicly announced that they are semi-separated, whatever that means. Grimes said she had been feeling that their relationship was on autopilot and that as the autopilot was from Tesla, it had crashed into a wall. Musk said that while he's disappointed, he has enjoyed breaking up another union. That's the latest from the Chaser Report. I'm Rebecca De Unamuno, and I'm incredibly relieved I'm not called ex-A12 Musk.
This episode is brought to you by the one adult supervisor that keeps all the cobalt mining children in line. If you thought being locked down with your unruly kids was hard, imagine being stuck in a third world mine shaft with hundreds of them and trying to force them to mine cobalt. No, thank you.
It is time to catch up with Chris Taylor. Hello, Chris.
How are you guys? Lovely to catch up.
We're good.
How is anyone in lockdown?
Are you... This sounds like an old Coward play. It's terribly civil, isn't it? It's lovely to catch up. And have you got your cucumber sandwiches? I've certainly got mine out.
Oh, Charles, the economy.
Yes, I always can't work out whether to seriously answer the question of how I am, which is fairly miserable a lot of the time. But then that's a conversation derailer, so let's not go down that path. How are you, Chris?
Look, I'm all right. What is it? I think it's year four of COVID now. I've sort of lost count. So I've run out of calendars, but I assume we're about halfway. It's only 4 years to go.
Something like that.
Yeah,
it's like the Olympics.
Yeah, exactly. In fact, isn't that a beautiful thought that we actually agree? Like you appoint an equivalent of the IOC. You actually agree to have a new pandemic every 4 years. And you can kind of, like, countries lobby to be the source of it.
The epicenter.
So China, obviously, got the hosting rights this time. But, I think Australia, Brisbane, I was surely put their hat in the ring. I reckon they've got a good pathogen in them.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. They've been brewing them up on the Gold Coast for many, many years. You can't tell it's some of those bars at 3 a.m. that have fully toxic things in the bottom of some glasses.
You don't need bats. You don't need pangolins in the Gold Coast. Just humans are sufficiently diseased.
And strip clubs. Yeah, that's all you need.
Humans, strip clubs and theme parks. That's got it all in Brisbane.
And Queenslanders.
Scotland is basically a Petri dish that is basically like a Wuhan lab, isn't it? Like there's enough germs going around the pools at schoolies that I reckon we've probably had a pandemic but just not known because we're also immune in Australia because we're surrounded by schoolies. But if you sent a schoolie overseas, they cause bedlam.
Hmm.
Schoolies is actually a spy operation by the CSIRO where the young people believe they're going there to have a great time, get absolutely fucked up. But the Centre for Disease Control is going, all right, let's see how this spreads.
Oh, maybe the tallies are actually just CSIRO inspectors taking swabs.
I must admit, on a slightly more serious note, I mean, we've heard a lot about, the victims of COVID, whether they're, nursing home residents or just workers, people who are doing homeschooling with kids. We haven't heard much about the toolies who for 2 years in a row have been deprived of their right to, quite problematically hang around young kids as they celebrate finishing year 12. I mean, can we run a telethon for them or something?
Toolie-thon.
Toolie-thon.
What I think is going to happen, that's absolutely true. They are among the many victims of this. There have been all these consequences we weren't expecting. Like the death toll is actually better than usual because we don't have car accidents and flu and stuff like that. So we're actually ahead in terms of deaths from COVID.
That's the stat we don't see. Like we see the daily cases and deaths, but we don't see the relative deaths.
Yeah.
So fewer people.
It's true.
sort of dying in misadventure.
Yeah.
Because we're just not on the roads as much or not in planes as much.
I saw all these stats about the net impact of the death toll, and in many places it's terrible, but in Australia it's actually a net positive, except for toolies.
Right, except for toolies.
Who are doing it very tough. I just worry that come summer, I think everyone's going to go absolutely insane. And I think it's going to be the summer of toolies.
Well, does a toolie exist outside of schoolies? Because aren't they just a normal person when school is not on? Just a regular creep?
That's probably true. That's just a normal Gold Coast resident. Yeah,
probably the mayor of the Gold Coast.
I reckon in summer we're actually going to see the death toll rise exponentially, not because we're all going to be going out and licking surfaces and spreading COVID, but also joggers have like a whole year of dead bodies to catch up on.
Yes.
Like no one's running really at the moment. No one's really going out. We're all locked in our houses. And like who's discovering all the random dead bodies in the forest?
Yeah, and what about poo joggers? They've really been...
Yeah, down. Yeah. But I'm waiting for the renaissance of the shit jogger. Let's bring it back. Locked and fully loaded. Poo Jogger 2, Electric Boogaloo. Let's bring it all the way back.
Well, I don't know if I'm different to you guys. Like, because Dom will certainly be able to vouch for this. I'm not the healthiest person. I'm not Mr. Fitness.
Mm.
I bizarrely have probably been at my best health during COVID.
Really?
Yeah, but like it never occurs to me to go for a walk or let alone a jog normally. But because it's the 1 hour that we're allowed out a day,
oh.
I kind of think it'd be a waste not to use it. So I have been going for walks. So I'm really worried that when the pandemic ends, I'll go back to being a slob who just stays on my couch the whole time. So I need a fatal pandemic just to keep me on my toes.
That's true. And also you've been cut off from your fine dining restaurants, Chris. That must be terrible.
Yeah.
And that must be wonderful for your heart.
Well, you're kind of cut off from them and you're not. What I've learned about the pandemic, and this is actually something I was going to raise with you, is just sort of the things I'm dreading. You know, whenever Freedom Day occurs, and, you know, sometime in the next decade, I assume, that, you know, things will open up again. And I know you think I'm a foodie and I love restaurants, but what I've learned is the only thing I really like about restaurants is the food. And I hate everything else about restaurants. And it's been bliss during the lockdown pandemic because you've still been able to access restaurant food, like either through, you know, the traditional means of Uber Eats and stuff, or your fancier high-end sort of hatted restaurants, you know, are doing these amazing dinner packs and something. So you get all the food of your favourite restaurant.
Yeah, the kits.
With none of the things I hate. And I'm talking about things like waiters coming up asking you still or sparkling. You don't get that with your home dinner packs. You can just pour water from the tap guilt-free without having to feel bad about asking for tap water. Like, also, I sort of hate waiters. I'm going to sound awfully snobbish throughout all. Just stop me if it ever gets too much. I hate waiters. I know hospitality's done it really, really hard, and I hope they get back on their feet. But I hate waiters who turn up and go, "Hi, I'm Cassie. I'll be your server tonight." You know those ones?
Yeah.
I don't need that. Again, in lockdown, you don't get any of that bullshit with your Uber Eats. You just get the food. And yeah. like judgmental
yes.
wine waiters or sommeliers who sort of, you know when you don't know, no one knows what they're ordering. You just sort of pick something according to price.
Oh, look, I can't relate.
Yeah, like, so you don't have that anymore. Like, you just go to Dan Murphy's or whatever your local is, buy what you want. No one's judging you. You can even order it in. People bring everything to you now.
Oh, yes.
So I'm sort of dreading restaurants reopening in a way. I hate no bookings policies. Everything about restaurants kind of drives me mad, except the food.
Also, Chris, you spent about a decade with everyone you met going, "Cracked pepper." So that reference point is probably now dead in people's
That's
memories.
True.
You might be free of it.
That is true.
The giant pepper pot industry must be absolutely decimated at this point.
I still get death threats from Big Pepper. Like the industry really isn't happy. Apparently I smeared their name for good, and you know, those grinders just don't shift the way they used to.
What a shame.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
The Chaser Report.
The other thing I'm really dreading, this might be a bit more relatable for people who aren't accustomed to snobbish sommeliers.
I was going
to
say, while you were talking, I actually had to Google what sommelier was. But apart from that, relatable.
This is a bit where we're 40, yeah.
Oh, it's also, I think you have income that's a little bit more stable. I don't think I've ever been to a restaurant where they've asked anything of me.
I reckon you could find 40-year-olds with income who don't talk about sommeliers. I think this is just a Dom and me thing.
Yeah, it's true.
No, but this one, this is, okay, go with me on this, Gabby. You're okay. You're of the, you know, socials generation.
Yeah, right.
What I'm really dreading, once we're all free and out of lockdown, is that first wave of Instagram photos from the first people who go on an overseas holiday.
Oh,
can you imagine the smugness? You know, just here at the Amalfi, hashtag freedom or hashtag great to be, you know, elsewhere. Like, oh, I mean, if it was me, of course I'd do it, but it won't be me. It'll be a friend of mine. And I'm dreading, it's almost enough to do a Lee Sales or a Lisa Miller and just quit all socials so you don't have to see those smug photos.
I mean, I'm thinking of the first trip that I do, I'm just going to head straight to a sommelier and take some selfies. But no, it's true. Once the travel does open up, people are going to be incredibly insufferable, but also be like, oh, I've had to home quarantine for a week coming back. I'm really suffering. It's so hard.
But that's like the humble brag, isn't it?
Yeah.
Of the jet setter. Going, I'm having to do quarantine. Why? Oh, because I've just been on the Greece islands for 14 weeks. I mean, no, it's awful. The only thing, when we do all travel, though, and this sort of, sorry to bring back my sommelier instincts. is that a sommelier instincts? It's a good name for a metal band. Because, you know, as somebody who likes his wine and a bit of a Francophile, I'm worried because of the complete mess that ScoMo and the government made of this submarine deal.
Oh, yes.
That we're never going to be allowed to travel to France again.
We won't be able to show our faces on the Côte d'Azur, Sadler.
No, Saint-Tropez will be without our presence. But don't you reckon, because it's just like the French, who I love, by the way, let's not start another war, but if there'll be some trade sanctions, there'll be a bit of, you know, hot talk at, you know, UN Security Council meetings. But if they really want to stick it to us, and they should, I'm actually recommending they do this, if they just close their borders, like Paula ScoMo, but close their borders to Australian tourists, then I think it'll really start to hit home about how badly he's balls this up.
Yeah, I mean, I've never been to France myself, but I did plan on going at some point before I died, so it's kind of sad.
Anytime you want to tell Dom and I to check our privilege, talking about French holidays, sommeliers, just go for it, Gabby.
We deserve it.
Well, yeah, well, actually, while we're here then, I've actually never been overseas. Right. But because of ScoMo, I may never find out.
When you get to go to France, Gabby, in 20 years' time, when COVID's
can't
over.
Wait.
And ScoMo has finally smoked the peace pipe with Macron.
Yeah, you will go in the submarine.
Yeah, it's not something I actually agree with. I've always found the French completely lovely. And I'm not just saying that because my new neighbours are French and they can hear me doing this podcast. But they are. But there is a sort of stereotype about the haughty waiter who, you know, sticks his nose up to any, you know, Philistine Englishman or Australians. And so it is. There's a couple of ironies about this. The other irony is that it was always the French who famously were using nuclear power in the Pacific,
yes,
and sort of blowing up atolls. So it is a sort of almost delicious irony. Cassoulet level delicious.
Michelin star.
It's now nuclear energy that's come back to bite them. But I don't know about you. I do have a huge soft spot for France. I'm also detecting just some genuine racism. I know racism against other white Western countries isn't as fashionable as some other types of racism, but it does still exist. I mean, remember after 9/11 and like the Lynch Siege Cafe, I think it was, there was the hashtag I'll ride with you. As a lot of people wanted to communicate to Muslims that, you know, not all white people sort of thing. So I've been doing I'll ride with you to French like people. Where I live in Sydney, there are quite a lot of French people. There's more than there used to be in La Perouse and Sanssouci, obviously very French names, big French communities there. So I've gone all Je suis Charlie again. Remember that phrase?
That fun little phrase.
No one's used that phrase, I think, well, unless you're a French cocaine dealer. No one's said Je suis Charlie for a long time. But I'm starting to bring it back. So I'm proposing on the podcast today that we kind of do a reverse boycott. You know, like, I think when they did bomb Miraroa Atoll back in the 90s, was it?
80s, I think, yeah.
80s, late 80s. There was big boycott of anything delicious. So I think ham was out, baguettes were out, all of that. I'm proposing a reverse boycott to show the French that we do like them and that this is a ScoMo thing, it's not an Australia thing. So I'm proposing we exclusively only use French products.
Oh, nice.
So I know. So like it was grand final weekend, I think on Saturday. No sausage rolls or meat pies at my party. It was just duck liver pate, foie gras, wheels of cheese, because I think nothing says AFL grand final like a wheel of camembert and duck confit.
And you can forget your VB and your beer. It's only champagne, surely.
Absolutely. Champagne. It's still in a tinny, but champagne in a tinny. It's a beautiful merging of our two cultures.
I'm on board.
Look, I think you're right. If we adopt more French values, just have some more affairs. More affairs, more gitane, and more camembert, I think we'll heal this thing.
Yeah.
May we. D'accord. Vive la République.
Femme la bouche.
Thank you, Christopher. Merci.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
This episode is brought to you by the villagers downstream from the cobalt mine. Their bravery and cavalier response to having their water supply willfully contaminated by toxic industrial runoff means that the electronics we use to listen to this podcast are even cheaper. How good's that?
Hey, Gabby and Alexa, just before we go, Gabby, I know you hate picnics.
Yes. I can't believe this has been brought up for a fifth time now on this podcast.
I think we can change your mind because the New South Wales government has just changed the rules so you can now drink in parks.
Wait, hold on. Wait, that was illegal?
Yeah.
I've been doing that the whole time.
You never had your drinks poured out?
No, but I've just always had my drinks mixed in a water bottle. I just thought we did it for fun. I didn't realise people were doing that for my own safety.
I think that's a privilege of affording see-through drinks. With Goon, you can always tell that it's not water.
Yeah, and you can't really convince anyone that you're drinking your own piss either. It's just not going to go down well with the cops. But yeah, okay, righto. But hold on, was that legal pre-COVID?
It's only parks managed by an agency I've never heard of with a really stupid name. Placemaking New South Wales.
I bet if you Google what parks they own, it'll be one park and it'll be whatever the actual park is at Parliament House. You know, that big piece of land out the front. And that'll be the park they own. It's all the pollies can get drunk.
There's now 10 more parks where you can get smashed. So, look, this is a good thing. If COVID drags on long enough, you'll just be able to have to drink anywhere. That's what we're working towards.
Have they done tests to see how spreadable COVID is when you're smashed? I feel like alcohol would disinfect to some extent.
I feel like we should volunteer to perform those tests.
Yeah.
Please leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. We really appreciate it. It helps us make the podcast.
Our gear is from Rode Microphones and we're part of the Acaster Creator Network.
Catch you tomorrow.
Bye.